injection hotline, because folks, the NBA draft is fast approaching. Who will the Pistons take first? How high are we going to see Chris Duarte go? Let's examine this. Our guest does a terrific job keeping us wired in for NetScouts Basketball online, netscoutsbasketball.com. On Twitter, try the handle at Carl Berman. Carl, always great having you on board. How's life treating you and yours these days?
You're all good, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. So, a little background, because I'm always interested in the backstory. So prior to this particular enterprise, you were involved in coaching the Eugene Chargers in that league. I was reading a little bit about it. What could you tell us about your time there? And I guess, Carl, some of the unique aspects of that league, be it the shot clock and other rules.
Yeah, it was an interesting league. I started off as a scout, and eventually I became the general manager. I did some assistant coaching, but the league itself was very interesting. It had a 22-second shot clock, so the games were very fast paced, high scoring. I remember one game, I think we scored 178 points against a team from Detroit. That really wasn't from Detroit. You know, they had, like, I think three guys from Detroit, and they picked the rest of the guys up at the Portland, Y or something, and brought them down with Detroit uniforms. But yeah, it was very, very interesting. Good players. A lot of our guys that played with us went on to Europe and had really nice careers. We had a guy named Bolakolis, who was a center, who played at Florida when Udonis Haslam was there, and he wound up in Denmark and played for probably 9 years. So it was a lot of fun. Interesting.
Then what led you, I think it was with Chris Denker, to pursue an undertaking like NetScouts? I'm always curious kind of how things got off the ground, because it seems like where you were then and where you are now, I mean, you've made such a substantial impact, not only here, but on the international scouting scene.
Yeah, it was an interesting start when Chris was our last coach, and he had a lot of good coaching experience. He was the head coach of the women's team at Santa Clara and at Colorado State. And when the Chargers reached its demise, we were talking to a few people, and they said, oh, you should do a scouting service and try to, get your guys overseas and try to help them, get jobs overseas. So we tried that for a while. Then we tried to work with overseas teams. So we were scouting NCAA teams and try to get consulting deals with overseas teams. And that worked pretty well. They liked us, but at the time there wasn't a lot of money there. So we wound up changing it up and doing an international recruiting service for U.S. colleges. And that's worked very well. And we've been in that business for about 12 or 13 years.
Talking with Carl Berman of NetScoutsBasketball.com, and for folks unaware, on your Twitter feed at Carl Berman, you link the latest mock draft, which also appears on NBA.com. But let's get to Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State. I mean, he was an incredibly high recruit out of high school, one and done. Carl, how much of a consensus lock do you think he is to go first, and kind of what pops about all he brings to the table?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty solid lock. I know the NBA guys I've talked to, all have him number one. So, Detroit, keeps their pick, or maybe Houston can try to, make a deal with him. I don't know. But I think he'll probably go number one. He's, he's got the size in the NBA. They're looking for guys who are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", that are long. He's got a 7'1 wingspan that can guard multiple positions and possibly play multiple positions. So he'll probably be a primary ball handler. He could be a secondary ball handler. But he's got the size. He's got the toughness. He shot better this year than they thought he would. He shot like 62% at the rim, 40% on threes, I think 44% on catch and shoot threes, 84% from the foul line. So, he has a shooting, and that was a question with him. So overall, he's just he could develop into like a Jason Tatum-like player down the line, I think.
Whoa. All right. before we get to Duarte and some of the other familiar names, guys like Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga, who did not go to college, obviously unable to go straight to the NBA, they chose the G League Ignite. Would you tell us about the, you know, kind of an interesting developmental team and these guys with a more unique path to the NBA?
Yeah, I'm a big free market guy, so at the time I think it was a good option for some players who didn't want to go to college and wanted to make some money. And in their cases, you know, they made about $500,000 for playing with the Ignite. From the standpoint of a development standpoint, it was very good for them because they're playing against, you know, professional players, playing in an NBA system, coached by an NBA guy, Brian Shaw. So from a NBA development standpoint, I think it was a very good spot for them. You know, where they're losing out is in some of the public knowledge and marketing opportunities that might have been open to them if they went to college first. But from the standpoint of getting ready for the NBA draft, I think it was a good move.
As for the Duck, Chris Duarte, who's likely to go, I want to say, near the lottery. I mean, we know the kind of season he had. He took, I guess, the mantle of best player in leadership from Peyton Pritchard, from his clutch play, versatility. Well, what's the read on him, and where do you think he ends up, or in the neighborhood?
Yeah, with Duarte, you know, he's going to be the oldest player in the draft at 24 years old. So that's, you know, the big negative on him. The positive is he's pretty much ready to step in and play. So the upside probably isn't as much as some of these younger kids like Keon Johnson and Scotty Barnes and those types. But the fact that he could come in, play right away and contribute to a team that might be playoff contenders or title contenders, I think is very, very valuable. With Duarte, he's really good at the things that the NBA does, you know. So as a pick-and-roll ball handler, I think Synergy had him at the 94th percentile in transition. I think he was the 92nd percentile in spot-up shooting. He was 94th percentile. So the things that the NBA values, he's really, really good at, and he's really good at it right now. So he can come in and contribute right away for someone.
Yeah, I think I just like he's so disruptive when he needs to be. You and the folks at NetScouts, as we continue with Carl Berman, just do an incredible job on the international scene, which obviously is such a critical talent pool. So let's get to some of them. I was watching some film. The 18-year-old from Turkey, Alperen Sengun, 6'10". What's the buzz on him, and how high NBA teams are on him?
Yeah, I think the take on him is kind of varied. I'm personally high on him. I know John Hollinger is really high on him. Normally, when you see someone that age at 18 playing in a really good league, like Turkey's probably a top three league in Europe, top four league, and he's dominating. He was, I think, the second leading scorer, third leading rebounder, 19-9. When you see a kid contribute and do that well at that age, the outcomes in the NBA generally are very, very positive. There's some concerns about his quickness in guarding on defense, and I don't think it's as bad as what some are saying. Because if I looked at his pick and roll handler statistics and roll, you know, guarding the roll man, and he actually did very well at that. I think stepping out to guard a handler might be an issue with him, or to guard, you know, a guard on the perimeter, but he's pretty good in guarding inside and also against rollers. So I think it's varied as far as the NBA take on him, but I think I have him number 8. And I think he's a lottery guy for sure.
Love all the breakdowns, Carl. I live for the analytics. Some may have seen Usman Garuba of Spain playing against Team USA this weekend, played professionally for Real Madrid. For a guy, though, who's 6'8", 230, seems pretty agile, long arms. I know Empire Sports in New York is saying the Knicks are looking. So what about all he brings to the table and how high he could go?
Yeah, he's another traditional guy that the NBA teams will like because, again, he's 6'8". He's got the long plus 7-foot wingspan, very active. He plays really hard. He gets him down the court really, really well. He shot, I think, about 34% on threes this year, which was better than a lot of people thought he would shoot. And he's a kid playing on Real Madrid. You know, if you look at Real Madrid's roster, it's laden with, you know, ex-NBA players and guys who have played in Spain for a really long time. It's the best league in Europe outside of the EuroLeague. And he did pretty well as an 18-year-old. So, you know, he's got the body and the physicality. If he can develop a three-point shot, he's a rebounder. So, again, I think he's a lottery guy.
And the last guy I want to get to is another young pro, Josh Giddey from Australia, playing for Adelaide. He won that league, the NBA, NBL, the Rookie of the Year, which for people who want to make that a little more familiar, same award LaMelo Ball won the season before. So he's 6'8", looks like he handles the ball well, some shooting concerns. Overall, what's the book on Giddey?
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, last year when we looked at LaMelo Ball, we really liked him because he was a tall point guard. There was issues with his shooting. People were saying, well, he didn't play defense. His shot's kind of funky. You know, but we really liked him because he had that one really good NBA skill, which was his court vision, quick passing. He was unbelievable, probably the best at that, you know, in last year's draft. So we were really high on him. And Giddey's sort of the same. You know, he's 6'7", 6'8". He's got really nice court vision. He averaged over 7 assists per game. I think more than a third of his games, he had more than 10 or more assists. Shot is funky, kind of similar to LaMelo Ball from last year. I don't think he has the upside as Ball has. But, again, you have an 18-year-old competing against professionals, playing really well. You know, needs to improve shooting, but again, he's as high as like 7 or 8. We have him, you know, in the teens, but I think he's got a bright future.
Folks, he's Carl Berman on Twitter. Use @CarlBerman. The site, you got to check it out, netscoutsbasketball.com. Just so much great insight, analysis, information. Carl, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, look forward to catching up down the road.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see each other soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carl. Take it easy.